This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We extend to you a warm-hearted welcome from the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
Doubt that is dealt with can be changed into strong convictions. That's what we're going to talk about in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you who are the risen one, speak to us mightily today. We want to talk about doubts because they often can afflict us in one way or another. And as you came and talked so lovingly and kindly but firmly with Thomas, so we pray that you will visit us in your word. Hear our prayer, which we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Hear God's word as it is recorded in the 20th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, beginning with verse 24. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my fingers where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Christ, we do.
Friends in Christ, the story of Thomas doubting Jesus' resurrection gives us an opportunity to discuss the subject of doubt, specifically as doubt relates to the Christian faith. Let's take a look at Thomas's first response to the message that Jesus has been raised from the dead. I love Thomas. And I am so glad that Jesus chose him to be one of his disciples. I have a couple reasons for that. First, it helps me in my own walk with the Lord. Because I don't know about you, while I trust the Lord with all my heart, Satan is still around trying to put some little doubts, not little necessarily, big doubts, into my mind once in a while. And so I need to go back and see how Jesus treated Thomas and believe then that he will treat me the same way. And secondly, I am so happy that I could turn some of our people who were really struggling with their doubts back to a person like Thomas and showing them that Jesus does not throw you out because of your doubts, but rather what he does is work with you, for he is thoroughly convinced that doubts, when treated by the teaching of his holy word, can become strong convictions. Thomas was a loving person. Thomas loved the Lord. You remember when Jesus said, "We're going down to Bethany. Lazarus had died, and I want to go down and be with the family." And some of the disciples said, "Lord, why do you want to go there? The last time they tried to kill you. And don't you think they'll do the same this time?" It was in that particular conversation that Thomas broke in and said, "Come on, get ready, let's go. We will die with him." Now that showed how much he really loved the Lord. Probably he was a little bit of a pessimist. I don't know. Some say that. Faith was not easy come by as far as Thomas was concerned. He probably didn't latch onto something as quickly as did others of the disciples, but he was a person who showed that when faith was dealt with, it ended in conviction. He did not air his doubts to get attention. He was not an obnoxious doubter. He was not trying to say, "Well, I'm so intelligent that my brilliant mind cannot certainly accept this particular event that you say has happened and that Jesus has been raised." He was willing to discuss his doubts. He wanted to believe, and he wanted to believe strongly. There was perhaps one weakness that Thomas had. I think it is a weakness, and we see it repeated over and over again. William Barclay, the great biblical expositor, has brought this out. He said in one of his writings, Thomas needed to be alone with his grief. He wanted to do his mourning alone. It would have been far better for him if he had stayed with a group. For when we mourn, it is not loneliness, but togetherness that can really help us. We need one another in our hours of grief. Yes, we need the Lord Jesus, and there needs to be a few moments alone. But we really then, having had that time, need to get back and to help one another in order that we might come through this dreaded experience in our lives. Well, then, 1 week later, now here comes Jesus. And I think this is the important part in this whole text. Jesus seeks out Thomas. He stands right in the midst of all the disciples, and Thomas is there. And this time he says, Thomas, I want to talk to you. I believe that there was a loving smile on his resurrected face. And Thomas had said, you know, unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and I put my finger where the nails were, and I put my hands into his side, I will not believe. Thomas was reminded by Jesus that he said that. So he accommodates him. Now, Thomas would say, oh, no, Lord, I don't need to do that now. I see. No, Thomas. Our Lord said, take your fingers and put them where the nails were. And then take your fist and put it into my side. And when he did that, Thomas replied, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, Thomas, you have believed because you have seen. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. You know what Jesus was doing? Jesus was changing a doubt to a conviction. Jesus was saying to Thomas, Thomas, you're going to be a great child of mine. You're going to be a marvelous witness. I'm not going to cast you aside because of your little doubt. I'm going to take the doubt away and make it a conviction. I want you, Thomas. And that was the end of that particular day. What about our doubts? Don't you think that Jesus will accommodate us just as he did Thomas? I do. Do you find yourself sometimes being tempted by Satan to cause you to ask the question, God, where in the world are you? The other night, I lay in bed listening to a very distressing program on the television. It was a program showing all of the dying children in the world, dying from hunger, dying from AIDS, and all the rest. And just before I was ready to go to sleep, I found myself saying, God, where are you in all of this? And you know, I think that the Lord Jesus could put his arms around me and say, look, I'm right here. You may not like my procedure, but I'm right here. I'm not indifferent. I don't want those children to die. But you remember what I said? I said, feed the hungry. Now here there is a great organization that is presenting that challenge for you. And they are telling you that if in the morning you write out a check, a small check for $8, you'll feed the mouths of few of those children for a whole month. That's a great organization. Don't try to escape it by saying, oh, that's probably a fraud. No, it's not. It works through the church. You just contribute to the fund to feed the starving kids and see what happens. Your doubt will be changed into a conviction. Why don't you, as a member of the congregation, take a look at your congregational budget and ask the question, how many dollars do we give to feed the hungry? How does it compare with some of the other budgetary items we have? Take a look at your national budget. How are we doing there? Yes, you say the United States is very general, and perhaps we are in comparison. I don't know. I've heard contrary figures at times. But how are we doing in feeding the hungry and caring for those who are ill in comparison with some of the other things that we are spending our money on? No, you see, it is not that I don't have an answer for this problem. I've chosen to solve it through believers in Christ Jesus. If you'd like to know a little bit more about it, why don't you turn to Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46, and study that as an individual and as a Sunday school class and see where your place is. That's our doubt, but it can be changed to a conviction. Here's another one. A person says, and he's a believer in Christ Jesus too. He's not questioning his Christianity, but he's brokenhearted. For he has a lovely daughter, and she has just been forsaken by her husband. He has left her to raise three children. And the friend says, you know, that's a very difficult thing to do. Where do you think God is in the midst of all of this? There's a little bit of a doubt that God is not there. Could Jesus be saying, as he puts his arms around that doubting father who loves the Lord Jesus but loves his child too, was your ex-son-in-law a Christian before they married? No. Did you teach your children what I said in my word, do not be equally yoked with unbelievers? It's in 2 Corinthians 6:14, if you're wondering. And he might have said no. Did you demonstrate the importance of Bible reading in your home when your ex-son-in-law was there courting your daughter? Did you show him how important it was to gather the family around the Word of God and let Jesus speak powerfully to that marriage? You know, it could very well be that that divorce would never have come if those moments had been spent with the Lord every day. And then I think that Jesus probably said, okay, we can't help what's gone by, it's past. There is forgiveness for that. You assure your daughter and the three children that there is a forgiveness of sin. You assure them that Jesus is with them and he will strengthen them and comfort them. And then when you are alone with your daughter, say, look, Jesus Christ forgives sins and he will forgive yours and your life is not over. You can begin again. You have a lot to do for those children and for him. But remember the next time, look for a Christian man. And the doubt is changed into a strong conviction. Life isn't over. Life can start again. And I can be one of God's great people. There's another one that you might look at, and that is unbelief in this world. And so you look at the way the world is going and all the horrible things, the godlessness. You watch some of those late programs at night and you see them tossing God's name around and making fun of Christianity and all the rest that goes with it. And you ask the question, where is God with all of this unbelief? Where is he? And now again, I think that Jesus puts his arms around you and me who are the believers, just like he did around Thomas. And he says, you remember that I left you a gospel. And in that gospel, St. Matthew, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote, go and make disciples of all nations by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And then you remember when Luke wrote the book of Acts, he quotes Jesus when Jesus said, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth, at home and to the far end of the world. And then he could ask, do you share your faith in God's word with others who aren't believers? How many people have you told about Jesus Christ lately? Don't you think that he wants you to talk to them about the Savior? I have so decided that the gospel will be carried to this world through my church. And if you are a baptized believer in Christ Jesus, you are a part of the church. Are you seeing to it that your children are being raised in the faith, your grandchildren are being raised in the faith? Are you sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with them? Let me tell you a story. A few weeks ago, I sat with three nice people. They were going to bury their dad, and they asked me to conduct the service. I was glad to do it. And after we got done making all the preliminaries for the funeral, I said to them, you know, kids, I haven't seen you for a long time. But when you were young, I had you in my confirmation classes. And we went over the way of salvation of Jesus Christ and that he would forgive sins. And we talked about the necessity of living in his word and coming to church and hearing it expounded and reading the word. Where do you stand with Jesus now? And it was a very quiet time. And then we began to talk about their great-grandfather and grandmother, who were leaders in the church. They loved the Lord Jesus. They sat in church every Sunday. And then we talked about the generations as they came down and how they got more lax all the time. And they drifted away and they got more money and they bought boats and all the rest of the stuff. And the church was only used on special occasions. I said to them, can't you see where God doesn't have a chance if you're not in the Word? And then the girl said, I go to church regularly. And the other young man said, I go regularly too. And I take my brother along with me once in a while. It's the Word of God that's coming back. It's coming back. But because that family, way back, did not continue with that process of going to church, that doesn't save you, I know, but it feeds you. They lost contact with Jesus, and they could get along without him. Friend, we have our doubts. God will forgive us. And God will change those doubts into convictions. Turn, turn to him. Amen. Father in heaven, as you invite us to come to your throne of grace, we come with our doubts, and we pray that as you worked with Thomas and you have worked with us, you will turn those doubts into great conviction, and we will be faithful followers of yours, free to tell those around about us what you, Lord Jesus, have done for us. Hear our prayer that we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that the service today will be a light to guide you in the coming week. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit, listener-supported radio ministry. In order for us to better know our listening audience, we invite your response to the program. If Christian Crusaders has touched your life in some way, we invite you to call or write. Send your letter to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613, or by email at cc@naz.org. That's cc@naz.org. You may also telephone us toll-free at 1-888-693-2484. We invite you to share Christian Crusaders with a friend, relative, or neighbor. By making more people aware of this ministry, we can share the word and spread the light of the gospel so no one walks in darkness. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, you can dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now celebrating 70 years of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.